This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Warriors back. Warriors this week is back with Evan Giddings alongside Dan Devone. Cam Williams behind the glass. Got you every single Saturday morning from 9 to noon. And getting you set for a pretty big road trip for the Golden State Warriors as they are off to a 4-1 start to begin their season and now looking at 5 against some pretty decent opponents. Before we dig into all that and more here for the next 3 hours on Warriors this week, Dan Devone, my man, what's happening?
What's going on? What's going on with you? What's the latest? Are you all about the Golden State Warriors? I know that we had a level
of
trepidation, but you know, I'm beginning to be one of those guys. You know what I? You know
you're sipping
I
the Kool-Aid?
Oh, I tell you what, I'm going to the bar and I'm sitting down and I'm looking at that bartender and I'm saying, barkeep, just give me a tall one, give me that Kool-Aid all the way to the top, baby, and I'm throwing it back. I'm all in.
All in on these dubs. Well, it's funny you mention that because we had a conversation yesterday. And look, we'll get into all the different nooks and crannies about this team. Our big takeaways, we're as always taking your calls and messages at 888-957-9570. We had a conversation on Stein and Gurry yesterday for about 4 hours. I was a little surprised about the idea of what being all in means. Does that mean, you know, you're trying to go out and acquire a big name star? There's been some names that have been floated. Yesterday was all about Giannis. I could throw my trade proposal at you if you want. Jimmy Butler's been linked to the Warriors, and Sam Amick and Anthony Slater's latest piece. Or are you just all in on this roster? Like, what does all in mean for you?
All in on this roster. I think you know me when it comes to, and we can go down this road if you want. Once again, we can revisit the offseason. But I am not about a big name. Do you really want Paul George on this team right now and his $212 million contract making $53 million a year? And you will have given up maybe Kuminga, Moody's not here, probably Trace Jackson Davis and a couple of draft picks. Would you want that with Lauri Markkanen? Would you want that with even a Kevin Durant? I'm not in on any of those guys. You know, Ev, the thing is with me, and why didn't you call me for this conversation? Because I would have schooled all you coconuts yesterday.
Well, I've been trying to call you. I can't get a hold of you. I mean, you're in 16 different time zones at once.
I think that in order to be good and relevant and have something where it's recyclable and you can do this over a period of time, have that quote-unquote dynastic run, you got to do it from within. In other words, you have to find your own. I don't know. I'm just thinking off the top of my head. I think you'd be hard-pressed, and maybe you can give me an example, of a team that won a title. And remove LeBron James from the equation because he's the greatest of all time.
I was about to say.
But somebody that won it organically, that didn't do it with at least one or two players that they didn't draft or have under team control so that the money works and that it's done from sort of an organic place.
On a non-LeBronless team.
Yeah, I think we got to throw LeBron out because he was the greatest, and I know what he did in Miami.
I was going to say the Lakers in 2020.
Same thing. But if you could remove LeBron, usually it's Milwaukee who got Giannis. Think of Denver and their big three all came up with the Nuggets. We're talking about the Joker, obviously, and Porter and Jamal Murray. The Warriors, obviously, with their big three. I don't know. Give me a team. Even the Boston Celtics, obviously, Tatum and Brown, two guys that came up through the draft. It just, it doesn't necessarily work to try and piece together a team and saying, oh, I want that guy. He's one of the best in the NBA. Who do I got to give up? Whatever it takes. That's not necessarily has been proven, I would say, as being a winning formula in terms of titles in the NBA.
No, but it does beg the question why people keep doing it or people want to do it. Like the Brooklyn Nets were, you know, a fully formed super team, so to speak. They didn't make it past the second round. You can look at what the Phoenix Suns are right now. Another common thread is Kevin Durant, but they haven't gotten very far whatsoever. In fact, they got to the finals before they decided to go out in peace KD with Booker along with Bradley Beal. So I'm with you that the idea of a super team to me is it's a little shoddy. Like it's not foolproof, certainly. And to be honest, it's not proven. But the idea of going all in on the piece that can get you to the championship, because take, I don't know, the 2008 Boston Celtics, for example. Like they cashed in all their trade chips to go get Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen to pair with the homegrown star in Paul Pierce. That was something that ended up working. I mean, the Heatles are a bit different in a different category, but the Boston Celtics in last year's championship run, yes, they were homegrown, but they still cashed in a lot of trade capital to bring in Drew Holiday, to bring in, although he didn't play much in the finals, a Kristaps Porzingis. So it wasn't as if they didn't say that we love Tatum, we love Brown, we're going to pay you handsomely, but we need something a little bit more. And you can make the case that Drew Holiday was the guy that got them over the top because he was the only one that had championship pedigree.
Yeah, but I would consider him more of a periphery piece, that you had a foundation.
Not the centerpiece.
Yeah, and then you went out and you went and found a complementary player, a real good one, but not somebody that you're building around. And I guess that's sort of my point. I like the Warriors as they currently stand. Like, I find this entertaining. Is it going to win a title? Probably not. But what it allows you to do is that you can transition then into finding maybe somebody through that draft and building a new nucleus and transitioning into something that's a little bit more organic. The idea of cashing in these pieces and trying to go get, what's the name that's out there? Giannis is going to come over here. And so you're going to look at Milwaukee is not going to move Giannis unless you give them everything. They reckon Giannis isn't only a good basketball player, but I think you have to look beyond just the Bucks and what it is that he's done for the community in the city. And I really mean that. And I'm not getting hyperbolic here or theatrical. This is a guy who decided to stay in Milwaukee of all places. That doesn't happen. He is so significant, not only as a basketball player, but I would say as an icon to the economics that is Milwaukee. So, first of all, I don't think that they're going to move him before the trade deadline because he's so important to that team in so many different respects. But if they do, if we were to entertain that, you're going to have to give up everybody because this is Giannis and it's Milwaukee. And are you willing to do that for Giannis, who's now on, is he 30? Might be on the wrong side of 30.
He's 30 going on 31, but he has. Did you know that this is Giannis's 12th season?
It's amazing.
12th season in the NBA. Now, he's been a first-team All-NBA member for the past five seasons. I think he's coming off a 76 regular season stint last year, though he was hurt in the playoffs. But someone like Giannis, to me, he's kind of in a separate category.
By the way, do you
category.
Have to bring Thanasis?
Yeah, probably.
That funny.
Well, I mean, at this, you know, you could just, well, you're going to need a roster spot if you're going to gut the entire team to go get the freak. So you might as well just bring Thanasis over anyways. I mean, he could sit alongside Gui Santos and, you know, hang out for garbage time minutes. The point being, I think Giannis is in a different category of superstar. Like, to me, that is, if you're going to get him, it's different between going and acquiring, like someone like Jimmy Butler to me is far more attainable because he has a player option next year that he may or may not opt out of, so that makes him an expiring. He's 35 years old. It doesn't look like he has much of a future in Miami. That relationship is coming to an end, and he's still got some decent basketball left to play. He's not Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis Antetokounmpo is a top three player in the league. And the amount of times that you have an opportunity to get one of those players seldom comes along. I mean, the big, of course, people know about Durant, and that was a free agent acquisition, so they didn't have to give anything up. but that's not typically how it works. So in regards to Giannis, all right, I'll just throw the package that we threw out yesterday. And there are some CBA technicalities, but my point is this to me would be about the best package that the Warriors could offer. So leave the sub-clauses out of this. Andrew Wiggins, Jonathan Kuminga, Brandon Pajemski, De'Anthony Melton, and some combination of three or four unprotected first-round picks with pick swaps involved.
I'm not doing it.
See, I don't think I would either, but you have to consider it.
No, you think about it.
Like, let me throw this at you. If the Bucks said that's what we want, because while I think other teams could create better trade packages for Giannis, if Giannis says, I want to go to Golden State, I do think that the Bucks, because of what you're talking about with his loyalty, his commitment to the community and the surrounding areas, they have to give him what he wants. And so if he says, I want to go play with Steph, I want to be a Golden State Warrior, and the Bucks say, this is what it's going to take to get the deal done, you're still saying no. If you're Mike Dunleavy.
I'm thinking about it, but I think at the end of the day, no, I'm nixing that. And I would also add that I don't think Giannis, I think Steph might have been a lot more alluring to someone like that of Giannis 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Does he really have that sort of pull right now in Draymond?
I mean, after the Olympics, I feel like he does.
I mean, we
haven't seen a lot of Steph this year because he's been out. But.
And I want to win. I'm telling my agent to make a call to Oklahoma. I'm telling my agent to let's go to. I like what they're doing in Cleveland. Talk about young teams. There's some other places that I don't know that Steph is somebody that I'm hitching my wagon to at age 37.
I agree with that, but I also think that the Warriors are uniquely positioned to go out and get a superstar because they have an aging one of their own. And also, unlike those teams you just mentioned in Cleveland and OKC, who, by the way, the Warriors are going to see at this upcoming road trip, they get Houston tonight at 5 o'clock, Washington on Wednesday at 4:15, and then Boston, Cleveland, and OKC on Wednesday, Friday, Sunday of next week. So we'll have time to chat before the OKC game. But they're uniquely positioned, unlike those other teams, because I don't think that OKC or Cleveland wants to gut their roster.
Yeah, if you're OKC, you don't need him.
No. Well,
I don't think you do.
But how could you say you don't need Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Well, because
if you could get him, I think you probably would. But are you willing to give up all the young talent that you've accrued over the course of the last 5 years?
You don't need him.
But what young talent is on the Golden State Warriors?
Trayce Jackson.
He's a second-round pick.
But he's talented.
He's
Pajemski.
He's not a Jalen Williams. He's not a. I don't know. The only guy who's been paid from the rookie class is Moses Moody.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, to me, the Warriors, and I think that's also why it'd be difficult in the grand scheme of things to acquire a Giannis, which wouldn't happen until around the deadline, anyways. But the package that the Warriors could offer, I actually don't think that. Across the league, their young players are viewed as highly as they believe them to be. Like, they have more value internally, outside of maybe Kuminga, who we can get into later on, than other teams. Like, I don't think teams look at Pajemski and view him as untouchable like he supposedly was in the Lowry Markkanen deal.
You know what we suffer from?
Or non-deal.
And I'm guilty of this. I think you are as well.
Well, we just talked about sipping Kool-Aid at the beginning of the show.
Yeah. And I think it's a good thing to sip that Kool-Aid. So you come.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
And sit at the bar with me.
I want that purple stuff.
Right. Because this is what we do. And actually, before we go to the bar, we're going to go to the Zen Center. All right? It's up on Laguna and Page. All right? And services start at about 5:30. And this is the first thing that you'll learn.
Services.
Is that... They'll say, Evan, actually, they won't say anything, but this is what you should do, and that is just be present. Be in the moment. Be Be about Cam Williams right now. Just be here. Because what we do as fans is that we want to think about is, first of all, is this sustainable, right? The first two shows we did is, can the Warriors keep this up? Can they thread this needle every night? Trying to play 12 guys. Come on.
We're waiting people to file in before we dig too deep into this team.
Yeah, what are we doing here? And now that they've won a couple of games, well, how about a trade piece if this continues? If these guys, you know, if they're proven commodity, maybe we can lure somebody like that, Giannis. And all I'm saying, from the first row, the bar in the first row, the pulpit at the Zen Center, is let's just be present. Why can't we just enjoy this? Why not just get lost in this and be that guy in the 19th row chugging beers and going nuts and watching the Warriors and saying, yeah, we're going to win a tie. Why not just appreciate a team that's 4-1?
Well, first of all, I can enjoy just about anything with six whiskey sours. But this is what we do. Every single week, you and I come together on Warriors This Week and discuss what we've seen. And over the last week, since the last time we talked, the Sunday game against the Clippers happened where Curry got hurt. And Buddy Hield couldn't throw a rock into the ocean. And then they restored our faith, whether you're at the pulpit or a pew or a stool. They restored our faith by beating the Pelicans in back-to-back games, who, by the way, were, again, you know, I don't want to throw cold water on this thing, but...
Banged up.
Pretty banged up, especially that second game. They were missing like four of their top seven players. I know the Warriors didn't have Curry or Wiggins or Melton, but that's where I think that this team is far more equipped to handle and win games like that as opposed to last year, even the last two seasons, is that they're so deep that when they're missing a few guys, the rotation doesn't really shrink that much. In fact, it allows someone like Jonathan Kuminga to play around 30 minutes, which he wants to anyways. Like, those guys are fresh and ready for those games. And that's where I think this team can be better than last year. I just wonder when they play those top-tier groups, and that's why I'm so fascinated by this road trip. When they play better teams who are whole and the Warriors eventually get to full strength, like, how do they actually look? How do they perform in Houston against a team who, by the way, two nights ago just demolished the Dallas Mavericks, who I think are a pretty good roster. They got a pretty good team. They just ran them out of the gym. And the Houston Rockets as a whole, I think, are pretty clunky and consistent, young, prone to flare-ups. How do the Warriors play against them tonight?
Like, yeah, I go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I was just like, how do they look when they begin to get into the thick of things? Because you're right. I do want to be present. I do want to appreciate what they've done through five games, and I'll continue to watch. But they also had a hot start last year. Do you draw anything from that comparison, the fact that they were 5-1 and 6-2 to start last year?
I thought last year was a bit of a bubble. I did. And even when they got off to the 5-1 start, this is different. And listen, we could all be proven wrong, all right? They could maybe not win a game on this difficult road trip. Aside from Washington, they're going to get challenged. But this just...
Jordan Poole's popping off, by the way.
The sniff test is a little different with this team. It just... You know what it is, Ev? Is that it looks like the joy's returned. It looks like the fun has returned. It looks like Warrior basketball back in the day, albeit the talent isn't nearly as good, pound for pound. But there's just something going on. There's something in the air here that maybe Steve Kerr stumbled on where I think it's just, I turn on a Warrior game now and I have no idea what the hell to expect. I have no idea who the hell is going to be a star. I have no idea who's going to get into double figures. What's Lindy Waters going to do? Buddy Hield going to be hot or cold? I don't know. Does it really matter? Because you got five other guys that I'm watching that potentially could do something on any given night. I don't know the last time I could say that about Warrior basketball. So again, just to live in the here and now, there's a joy and there's a fun quality that has returned to this team that I think has been sort of absent over the last couple of years.
888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings, Dan DeVoe, Warriors This Week, along with Cam Williams with you, 9 to noon, every single Saturday here on your home for Golden State Warriors basketball, 95.7 The Game. Of course, we got a game later on today at 5 o'clock against the Rockets. Tim Roy will be live here on 95.7 The Game. I'll have Warriors live at 4 o'clock, and then Warriors wrap up after the Rockets game later on this afternoon. But let's kick things off with our first caller of the morning, Joe in the 818. Wants to talk about a big fish.
So, Cal.
What's up, Joe? How we doing?
Good. Good morning, guys. Hey, thanks for taking my call. When I heard you talking a few minutes ago, I said, I got to call in. You guys are talking about Giannis. And, you know, the way I'm looking at this, is I'm enjoying, you know, the Warriors have won four championships. And so most teams, most cities don't even get one. So I've been lucky to be able to watch that with Steph and everyone else. It's been phenomenal. But, you know, I think sometimes you have to go ahead and start to look toward the future. And right now, the way I look at it is, instead of giving up the stars and the moon and everything else for Giannis, I'd rather watch this young team that's fun to watch with all these young players, with Kuminga, Pods, Moody, TJD. Even Wiggins is only 29. But the thing is, right now we're sitting with all these young players, and they're fun to watch. And we have all our draft picks, if I'm not mistaken. So why not go ahead and that big man that you're looking for, why not look at in the draft, the 25, 26, 27 draft? Sooner or later, you're going to draft probably a big man that will turn out to be a pretty good player. If you look at the results, a lot of teams have picked up good centers from around 15, whatever, down to 17. But the point is if they did hit on a young big man with all the young guys they've got, the Warriors would be in contention, I think, for years to come. I'm not on that side to trade everything for Giannis to go for the title right now. I think we have an opportunity with young players and to add with our draft to keep the Warriors in contention for years. So what do you think?
Well, you're talking to a man, Devone, Joe, who believes the Warriors already have their big man of the future.
Is this about a big? Is that why we want Giannis? Because if I'm not mistaken,
Trace Jackson Davis?
Well, I'm just saying, historically, have the Warriors ever had a big? I know Bo did.
No, the idea of I think he was talking about drafting one. You know, eventually they'll hit.
I mean, do you want Giannis because he's a big player?
I also don't think the NBA is telling you need a big. Like, you need, pardon me, you need size, you need length, but you don't need a traditional center.
No. I would argue that the Warriors have never had one.
I mean, they've had traditional centers in the past, but
I mean, Bogut was the closest thing this franchise has seen to a traditional center in the last 25 years.
TJD is a traditional center. He doesn't play a ton, but
yeah, I'm just saying you have one now, yeah, in Trace Jackson Davis, who's still on the small side for a center, I want to say, but he's such a good complementary piece, because while everybody's shooting threes, especially the Warriors, you have this one guy who just plays 5 feet from the hoop. And he's all about slipping to the rim. He's all about pick and roll. And he has such good hands. I love his gait. I love watching that dude play, man. So he's a perfect piece to what it is that the Warriors are doing. But nah, the Warriors, I mean, the centers, aside from Zach Edey, I mean, the NBA is a place where centers go to die.
I can't stand him. He's going to get phased
out.
I'll
tell you what, he's been a surprise early on with Memphis.
Well, he stands out of a lineup. He's about 7'12".
The Big Maple, the pride of Canada.
Is that what they call him?
Yeah. He's a Canadian.
Well, he's done. Speaking of another Big Maple, we'll see one back in the starting lineup tonight, Andrew Wiggins. I do think...
Oh, the Andrew Wiggins hate starts early.
No. I liked what I've seen from Wiggins.
I love when you went through the trade with Giannis, the first guy you mentioned, Andrew Wiggins. Did I say Andrew Wiggins?
No, Wiggins has been good to start the year. And it's funny you mentioned the joy and just an overall different vibe about this team. Because I think the person who's probably represented that the most for me is Wiggins. Like he seems like he's playing with much more freedom than last year. And while I haven't been the biggest fan of his game, I also understand that if the Warriors are to keep this group together, and if they are to be successful, like he does need to be a big part of that. So the fact that he's going to return tonight, I mean, I want him to play well. I'm curious how it impacts someone like Kuminga, because I think the Warriors are, again, when they have all their players together, Kerr's job becomes more difficult as far as what buttons to push. And so far, he's pushed the right buttons, but I also don't think that the Warriors have necessarily been tested. And we'll see if they get tested tonight. The Houston Rockets are a team that plays frenetically. They get up and down. They, I don't know, pretty much just play pickup basketball outside of Şengün. how do the Warriors match up against a rip-and-running team like themselves? Because the Warriors are much faster. We've discussed this. They're much more athletic, and they don't mind playing fast. Last year, it was like if they played fast, either they would wear down or teams would just run them off the floor.
Well, that's because they were old last year. The one thing that I just drove home and just continued, it was a mantra. I would beat that drum that this team needed to get younger. I do want to talk about Klay Thompson at some point because I think his removal has a lot to do with the success of the Warriors. I really, really believe that. Not only physically are they now younger, not only did you just remove $40 million that were dedicated to one player off the books, but I also think that whatever was going on behind the scenes took its toll on this team. So when I talk about the joy and you could see this team just smiling and playing with a level of energy, I think last year Klay Thompson brought a lot of drama to this basketball. And we like Klay, but I just think that there was an ongoing feud that a lot of us weren't privy to between him and management.
What about this guy? We haven't talked about him a whole lot this season. Draymond Green. He compared this how he feels this season to last season. All right, we'll have that for you in a moment.
By the way, Draymond,
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, it's a fresh start. You know, I know coming in, I had an awful year last year. It was just not right. Didn't play well, didn't act well. And, you know, I want to show the real me. I want to show the growth. You know, I talked last year about being a champion of change, arguing referees. These guys are human. They make mistakes, and I'm trying to understand that. Such an emotional game. I play, you know, one of my best attributes is playing with my emotions. And so taking that next step and learning how to play with those emotions, but knowing where to channel those is a big important step for me and something that I'm really focusing on this year.
You buying it?
No, I love it though.
Well, I was gonna maybe tease it for the other side, but Devone can tell you how he feels.
Let's go to the
But it's funny you mentioned Klay Thompson being the common denominator for the issues in the team. Meanwhile, Draymond Green's a brand new man. He's been going to that Zen Center you were talking about earlier.
He is never going to change, and I love that about him. But it's always after a win or the team's playing well, he has retrospect, or suddenly he can recognize that he needs to grow up and the referees are human as well. You get back to me after they win five in a row and he feels as though he's getting jobbed. He will get a T, he'll get run. But that's who he is, and that man can never change. Look at if he didn't change after knocking Jordan Poole into Salinas, you know, or in the next Wednesday, you know, after he took time out and considered and contemplated retirement, and then, you know, less than 6 months later, he's going WWE on Rudy Gobert. So if he didn't change then, he ain't never going to change, but that's okay. We don't want him to change. So no, I'm not buying that. He makes me giggle every time he says that.
Well, you do want him to change. You would prefer that he wouldn't get suspended for 25 games. To me, that is a change.
But he might. We live on that razor's edge with this dude.
I know, and I'll tell you why on the other side I'm a little more optimistic about Draymond this year. I will. I also do want to get into our biggest takeaways from the 4-1 start. First five games, relatively small sample size. If you have a takeaway, what have you seen, the fans, from the Warriors, the first five games of this season as they prepare for the first five-game road trip, 2024-25? 888-957-9570 is the number. Comcast Business Text Line as well. Yes, 510. I know that 7'12" would mean 8 feet. That's the joke. Dan Devone, Evan Giddings, Cam Williams, Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game. We're back after this.
Back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Evan Giddings, Dan Devone with you every single Saturday morning, taking your calls on the Golden State Warriors. Text as well, 888-957-9570. People don't like Giannis, Dan. They don't like him. They think he's a bad fit from the 510. From the 954, is with you. Klay, lame duck, playing for himself last season. Wade on the team. Everyone is all in on this season. That's from Justin. So people are speaking to you. People are on your side of this conversation so far today. You got to turn your mic on.
I am a man of the people.
Well, Zen or at the bar.
You know, listen, I think Klay just, behind the scenes, there was a lot of drama that we just weren't privy to. I just think that the sulking, the contract, the extension, all of that just sort of took its toll. And I think Klay, at some point, he recognized that he was out. And anytime there's a riff with somebody in management and you got to deal with them every day, there's just, it's a tension you'd rather not deal with. I'm a big locker room guy. Like, you got to get that right, because the locker room will oftentimes transfer to the floor or the field. And I think, you know, one more thing on Clay.
Be careful.
Well, here's the thing, is that I think that Clay Thompson, think about this. He had an offer to go to L.A., now, which is essentially home. And his old man, Michael Thompson.
For more money.
For more money. His old man's there. He's got a place there out in Malibu. His dad, obviously, is a color analyst with the team. It all fit, right?
Yep.
LeBron James.
There's an ocean.
They're offering you more money. Ocean for you to swim in. So why does he go to Dallas? That's sort of peculiar. And I'll tell you why. It just made sense to me. This is a revenge tour. He looked at the two teams, and he looked at the landscape of the teams that were interested in him, and he's like, I want to go to the team that's going to give me the biggest chance to win so that I can look at the Warriors and say, look at me, bro. Look what it is that you screwed over. This is clearly a revenge tour on the part of Klay Thompson. Why else would he go to Dallas? He wants to make a statement, and there's nothing wrong with that. I love that about him. But make no bones about it. There's one reason why he's in the Lone Star State, and that's it.
Well, no, I was about to say it's because he wants to win. And I think it's as much about winning number five, which, by the way, God, Clay is just, he's one of a kind, man. So he takes the number 31, right?
Yeah.
Because it equals four rings, which is the number that he typically tends to throw up in people's faces when he's pouting. But I'm with you. He wants to win. And I think he wants to win as much to get his own, you know, fifth ring, as much to say, look what you guys are missing
damn
out on.
Damn straight.
Now, the one thing I also feel like I'm with you on in regards to Clay, and you didn't say it, but I think you'd agree, he wouldn't have worked on this year's team.
No.
Even if he got the contract that he... Let's say in a hypothetical world, Clay Thompson got whatever money he wanted from the Warriors, and they are still running a 12-man lineup, that would not fly with Clay. If his minutes are limited, if he feels like he's coming out in different places at the wrong times, I do think that that would be a problem. And so that is the biggest piece that was removed for me, is that distraction of having somebody basically be unhappy with their situation and their fit. Now, I think there's one player on this current team that is not satisfied with their role, but that player is not a starter, and more importantly, that player is not a hometown hero. That player is Jonathan Kuminga. I don't think Kuminga is satisfied with his role coming off the bench, and I don't think that it's a coincidence that yesterday there was a piece written by Sam Amick along with John Hollinger and Anthony Slater that, quote, rival executives believe the Warriors are more willing than ever to include Kuminga in a trade. So from one standpoint, I understand it, because, you know, you probably have never been close to trading him beyond this summer and prior to, so you've never been more, you know, willing to do it. But I think of all the players in this team that I think are unsatisfied, that aren't satisfied with what they have, JK's at the top of the list.
I would say that after the first couple of games of the season, but after what it is that I saw on the back-to-back against New Orleans, I saw him not only contributing, but body language is really big to me. I saw buy-in. I saw the guy with a big smile on his face. And I think as this goes along and he begins to realize that, you know, his role is going to be very dissimilar to what it was over the last couple of years, he's maturing. The guy's 22 years of age. I don't know that we can necessarily put him in that box and just label him right now after a couple of tough games. That's an unhappy basketball player. Let's move him. I think that there's going to be more growth from Jonathan Kuminga, and as he contributes, as he learns to let this thing slow down and recognize what it is that they're doing here theoretically, in terms of, you know, it's a lot of players that are getting a lot of time, and you've got to earn your time. And I think that in the last two games of New Orleans, I saw sort of a different JK, and I don't know that it's necessarily somebody that I think is going to be as problematic as maybe, say, the first two games of that home, or the first two games of the season, I should say.
Well, I don't think he's going to make a stink, and I think that Kuminga's relatively, he's a bit misunderstood. I think that the language barrier sometimes makes him come across as frustrated or angry or pouty. His body language on the court sometimes is not ideal, but I think that's common for young players if they're not playing well. You know, they get down on themselves, so I don't necessarily hold that against him. I think his camp speaks too much for him, and that's where people get the wrong idea about him, but JK himself has never struck me as a malcontent. The thing that I wonder about with him, though, and why I believe that he is not happy, so to speak, is because, you're right, the last two games, you did see a different Kuminga. He played. And he why did he play? He played because three guys were out. He played because one guy, particularly Andrew Wiggins, who is out, plays his position. Now, he got moved to the bench, which I don't think is going to change. Like, when Curry comes back, one of the reasons that that Kerr said he moved Kuminga to the bench is because they wanted more shooting in the starting lineup, and he wanted to move away from the Kuminga, Draymond, TJD front court. I don't think that's going to change when Curry comes back. And I think that's when things will start to get a bit contentious. Because it's one thing to be removed for the betterment of you. It's another thing to realize that your role is going to continue to shrink unless you have it going. And so Kuminga, you're right, he's got to play and he's got to earn those minutes. But time is not something he's necessarily afforded because he's in a contract year. And you already saw him pressing in the first few games when he was trying to fight among, you know, 12 players. Well, now there's another guy in Lindy Waters who probably has a chance to play. I don't think that it's a conducive environment for Kuminga at this point, and why I think he's not exactly happy with the way things have gone.
Well, if you're the Warriors, I don't know that I necessarily agree. Was it Sam Amick that had that story?
Yeah, along with Slater. I mean, it's from rival execs. It's not the Warriors themselves.
Closer to the situation than I am, but he's your best athlete. I mean, he along with Wiggins are probably the two guys who can get theirs on their own. And so you have to think long and hard, especially if a guy's looking to mature. And I see buy-in, but again, if you're going to move someone like that, because you just don't have any of those players. Aside from Steph, and I would say Steph doesn't have that in his bag. Steph cannot just go ISO and take you to the rack. Steph will cross you up, step back, and shoot a three. But if you're stagnant, and Kevin Durant was always the best at this, if they were missing threes and they needed to score another way, KD would just say, give me the ball, I'll get to my mid-range, I'll get to the rim. But they don't have somebody, when things sort of bog down, that's just going to be able to create on their own. And the athleticism that he provides is something that, aside from Andrew Wiggins, who can do it to a certain degree, he's your best athlete on the team. So depending on what it is that you're getting back in return, and keeping in mind that the guy's 22 years of age, again, I just think if I'm management, I'm erring on the side of patience when it comes to JK.
But you don't have time to be patient, though. Like, you have to make a choice of how much you're going to give this guy. The other part of the article that I thought was a little eye-opening was the fact that the Warriors and Kuminga this offseason were, quote-unquote, far apart in negotiations for their contract. It was between $30 and $35 million.
Mm-hmm.
A $5 million gap to me is not that big. Usually, if a team wants a player and the player wants the team, a $5 million gap can be bridged annually. I do think that's very telling that the Warriors and Kuminga were not able to come to a deal, and it wasn't a chasm. You know, it was more of a stone's throw. So that also lets me know that the Warriors don't have a massive amount of confidence in Kuminga. They're hoping that he proves to them that he is the player that they want him to be, which is a future all-star, a future cornerstone piece of this franchise. But so far, he hasn't done it yet. And I think where he's at is feeling like, well, I want to prove to you guys that I am, but you've already relinquished you've already demoted me. You've already taken me out of the starting lineup and stripped me of that role that I'm trying to prove that I deserve. And now that Wiggins is coming back and at full strength, I think Kuminga is going to come off the bench because that's what's best for the team. But that's not what's best for JK. And JK doesn't, again, have a lot of time left because he's going to be in restricted free agency this summer. So to me, there is growing friction there that also stems back to last season and the season before when Kuminga has had people and obstacles in his way, such as Andrew Wiggins. So I that's something that I'm monitoring very closely, because I thought it was noteworthy that the fact that they could not bridge a $5 million gap, that came to light.
I would just let it breathe. I know it's a risk, but you don't have to sign him this year. And I think Jonathan Kuminga...
Well, yes, you do.
Well, no, you don't.
Well, during the year, you don't. But this summer, you have to make a choice.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I'm talking about this NBA season. So, again, I'm just erring on the side of patience, because he just has to not only prove that he can be that guy, that star that they've been waiting for, but also now, on top of that, he has to prove that he can be a star within this new system, which includes 12 guys. And so all of that is just going to have to play out.
But he's not going to be a star in this new system.
He can.
If you're playing 20 to 25 minutes a game, you're not going to be a star. There's only one star in this team. His name is Steph Curry.
Well, there's got to be somebody else. There's got to be a number two. If he can prove that he
can be... But that number two, I think, is going to change every night.
Well, if he's altering and he's sharing the number two with Buddy Hield or Andrew Wiggins, then I think in the eyes of the Warriors, he's become a star. Now, obviously, if I'm somebody that's going to trade for him, I have to take into account that, well, my team doesn't play 13 guys, and Jonathan Kuminga is going to come here to whatever that team is, and he's going to be my number two as a starter. So it just depends on how it is that you're viewing Jonathan Kuminga as it relates to what team he's playing on. Within the Warriors, where you're sharing the load with 13 guys and he becomes a reliable scorer that's doing all the right things and his rebounding numbers are up and he recognizes spacing and he's getting rid of the ball and he's becoming that athletic star, albeit he's getting his 25 minutes, but he's giving you 15 points a game. I think he's become a star in terms of what it is that Steve Kerr's asking of him.
889-57-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings, Dan DeVone with you on Warriors this week here on 95.7 The Game. Let's get out to the city. Well, stay in the city, I should say. Let's talk to Telmo.
Where are we going? Where's Telmo?
Well, yeah, Telmo, where are you at in the city? What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm in Noe Valley right now. I'm getting into my spot. I got a huge catering today, but I was listening on the way, running some errands, picking up some things this morning. And I got to disagree with Dan, except on one thing. I completely agree that Jonathan Kuminga, as far as athletic ability, just raw athleticism, is probably the most gifted on the Warriors roster. But in terms of how quickly he's developing as a basketball player, I agree with Evan. I don't see him ever prospering or being his best version of himself, predicated on his game and his style of game and what he needs to become on the Warriors. Because here's the thing, you know, you said nobody can create a shot. Kuminga is not a bucket like that. He's just Kevin Durant as a bucket. There's guys that are just buckets. Kuminga isn't there. Even he's great when somebody gets him in a position to go to the basket, or he's cutting, or they throw him an alley-oop, but his three-point shot's not great. Last year we saw it towards the end of the season. He made bad decisions driving the bucket. A lot of time it was out of control. He puts up bad shots, have turnovers. And one of the things is the body language when he's on the court. You look at somebody like Moody, who... And maybe just Moody in his head doesn't think has the potential to be the same guy that Jonathan in his head thinks he can be, or the people around him are telling him you should be. But Moody, whether he gets 2 minutes or 17 minutes or 22 minutes, he comes in, he plays hard. When people like, you got to give Jonathan more run, you got to give JK more run. Well, he's obviously not doing the little things that would warrant that. The other day there was a play where the ball went back the other day and Pods ran it down. Lindsey Waters III ran it down, ended up getting the rebound. Kuminga just lollygagged, didn't make any effort, stayed on the other end of the court and waited for the ball to come back his way and cherry pick it. So when you look at somebody like Pods, the reason the Warriors didn't want to trade him away or didn't even consider it, they didn't just throw minutes at him, but every time he was on the court, whether it was effort, attitude, little things that he did that made him say, hey, we need to give this guy more minutes. So whether it's – the fact is, like Evan said, it's Steph Curry's team. It's always going to be that. Maybe JK needs to go to somewhere where they're going to feature him and feed into his potential in that style of game. But right now, He's a 15-point guy. There's a lot of 15-point guys in the NBA. To be a star, you got to become that 25-point automatic bucket guy every night. And I just don't think, while he's an incredible athlete, and I see why people are attached to that ceiling and that possibility, I just don't see him becoming the best version of himself on the Warriors.
Thanks, Delmo. No, look, I'm not trying to say that, that I appreciate all the points. Yes, Kuminga's not there yet, and I'm not trying to say that he'll never be that with the Warriors. What I'm trying to get at is I do think that there's growing friction between how the Warriors want to use him this year and what Jonathan Kuminga wants to prove this year, because I don't think their timelines are going to align. I don't. I think JK, to Telmo's point, wants to be the 20 to 25 point per game scorer that he'll probably end up being, but maybe it's at age 26 or 27. Meanwhile, the Warriors want Kuminga to be, to your point, the athletic, the fast, the defensive player that he can be right now, while also giving you 15 minutes or 15 points per game. That is not someone you pay $30 to $35 million to. Or, I guess, you know, if there was a gap, $35. And the extra $5 million was something they couldn't do this offseason. So, again, I think there's a difference between how the team views him and how JK views himself.
I think Telmo made a couple of good points that this isn't necessarily about what he does or doesn't do offensively, but it's the defense. And I mentioned this, that he has to understand rotations. And yeah, he also got beat on a missed free throw, which should have never happened. And so there are moments where he is the antithesis of a Podziemski. And I think that is really where there's a disconnect between him and Steve Kerr. I just don't want to go as far as saying there's friction between management and Kuminga, and Kuminga wants this. I don't know. I mean, a lot of that is just conjecture. We've been proven wrong so many times. Unless we know verbatim, and Kuminga's in studio and he's telling you he's disgruntled, a lot of it is just, I've been doing this long enough and I've been wrong so many times that, and you could be right because it makes sense from afar, but I just don't want to go as far as saying that there's friction between the two, because I just simply don't know the inner workings in terms of the relationship. You know what, though? When you think about that Jonathan Kuminga draft class, typically, if I was to give you 1 through 8, 1 through 10 of a draft class in the NBA, how many guys would you say hit or were good players
on average? In a top 10?
In a top 8.
Define hitting, like becoming stars? Or
stars or good players?
Out of 10 or 8, I don't know, 3, 4?
2 maybe, but I would say it's like 2. Three, maybe, because the NBA.
I would say 1 or 2 stars, and then the extra two guys would probably be like rotation pieces.
When you think about that draft class, I just saw this. Just look at this. Cade Cunningham, star. Jalen Green, budding star.
He's averaging 30 a game right now.
Evan Mobley, star.
Yeah.
Scotty Barnes, star.
Broken hand, broken digit, but yeah.
Jalen Suggs, not a star, but
his start to the season though.
He's amazing. And watch out for Orlando, by the way. Josh Giddey, maybe the one sort of guy that you could say isn't necessarily not a bust, but not a bad player.
No, he's a good player. And actually, I think he's most akin to Kuminga from this standpoint. He clearly wasn't a fit in OKC. That doesn't mean he's a bad player. And it doesn't mean that Josh Giddey and his game can't help basketball teams. But with where OKC was trying to go, which was spread the floor, 4 or 5 shooters at one time on the floor, Josh Giddey wasn't the right fit for that team, and they were able to use him to go get a piece that fits them better in Caruso.
Yeah, Caruso. So Sam Presti's a little genius, man.
Dude, they don't even have their starting center.
Yeah, that team. You know what's scary about OKC this year?
Everything.
Is not only are they young, but now they got a little swagger. After what they did last year. Last year, they were a little young. Number one seed, are we, you know, playoffs, all this is sort of new to us. Now they're like, bring this crap on. Like, now it's young, talented, and attitude. But just to finish it out, Josh Giddey, Jonathan Kuminga, and Franz Wagner, just about every one of those guys in that 2021 draft, you're like, man, all right, that makes sense. Because typically, I could give you a draft over the last 25 years, and it's on the average three guys. And the rest of you are like, who? What happened to him? Oh, yeah.
Well, that was also something that stood out to me, too. So, like, Suggs, I think, got around 30 per year. I don't know if it was 4 for 120
yeah,
or 5 for 150, but
every one of those guys got paid.
Yep.
Except one. That being Jonathan Kuminga.
Seventh pick. Yeah. No, I'm with you. And I think that, you know, it speaks to the larger direction of the NBA, which is you gotta lock these guys in now for big money or bigger money, or you kinda have to let them go. Like, you have to make a choice. And that's where I think Kuminga is also in an unfair position. Dude, he's 22 years old. He's not what he's going to eventually become in the NBA. But because he got drafted to a team that was a title contender his rookie season, in which he didn't play, he's behind the eight ball compared to those guys. Wagner, look at the amount of games he started. Barnes, the games he started. Cunningham, the games he started. Giddey, the games he got to play when OKC was bad before they got good and decided that he wasn't for them. Like, Kuminga has not had the runway, and that's why, growing friction might be strong, but I do think that Kuminga is looking at this Warriors team and wondering, when am I ever going to get the runway if not now? Klay's gone. Wiggins has been out. Curry, Melton, Wiggins, not there, and I get benched? That doesn't sound like a runway to me. So I don't know. Maybe I'm smoking rocks. Maybe I'm onto something. But we're going to continue to dig deeper into the conversation as we roll on here on Warriors this week. 888-957-9570 is the number.
Speaking of smoking rocks, I want to tease something.
Excuse me?
Draymond Green's podcast and smoking rocks.
Is that what it's called?
Next.
Well, they already have an All the Smoke. I think that's with Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes. Smoking Rocks podcast. By the way.
No, I want to tell you why.
Because of his co-host? Because of his new co-host?
Why, is that already a thing? Have you guys talked about this?
No, but I do think it's funny that...
How baked is Baron Davis on that podcast? I watched that thing simply because Baron Davis is like you on a Friday night.
Hey, well, no, I like to sip a little more than I'd like to smoke. That's kind of an end of the night thing for me. The thing about B. Diddy is, first of all, God love him. He's a legend. He was my favorite player growing up as a kid, as he was probably tons of kids that are my age, or now adults that are my age. But we do have to talk about that on this side. There's a couple things I gotta get off my chest about B. Diddy. All right, Warriors this week returns after this on 95.7 The Game. 888-957-9570. Evan Gangs, Dan DeVoe.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.